This Galactic Netcast is brought to you by TextualTees.com, your one-stop shop for novelty tees and apparel. Free shipping on domestic orders with fast and friendly customer service. Support this program by going to GalacticNetcasts.com and click on the Textual Tees banner. Show some love for your favorite sci-fi TV show, movie, video game, meme, and more with a t-shirt from Textual Tees.
By your command.
Felt a great disturbance in the Force.
Resistance is futile.
Built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Exterminate!
Silent Breed is people!
I'll be back.
That sounds like something out of science fiction.
We live in a spaceship, dear.
Hear ye, hear ye. Time travel extraordinaire Dave Nelson here. I call to order this, the ninth meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Let's commence with the roll call. Zombie Hunter Matt Stein, are you here?
I love that name.
I think
so
our guest might be jealous. We'll get to him in a second. So Matt's here. Intergalactic swashbuckler Brad Ludwig, are you present?
Heck yeah. Zombie Hunter, intergalactic swashbuckler.
Yeah, we're all over the place this week.
I've got all my buckles swashed.
I was going to say, congratulations on doing whatever a swashbuckler does.
It's a lot of flying around the universe, waving a foil around.
What exactly does your resume say as your job description, Matt or Brad?
What, for reals or for intergalactic swashbuckler? Intergalactic swashbuckler, let's see, willingness to travel.
That's important.
Must
love travel. That would be a job description. Yes. My resume, let's see. Travel to Bora Bora 9. let's see.
Who have you worked for?
That.
What's that?
Who have you worked for?
Who have I worked for?
Yes.
I've worked for...
Come on, Brad.
worked for
the Galactic Empire.
No, I've worked for Dark Helmet.
Okay,
there you go.
I've worked for Commander Adama.
Yep, important.
There we go. And I actually busted up a few bars with Scotty.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, good job.
Am I done now?
Yes.
Thank God, because I wasn't going to be able to do any more of that, I don't think.
Anessa Moyens normally our fourth person on the panel. Let's see, one, two, three, yeah, four. Fourth person on the panel is on assignment this week. So let's introduce our guest, Geek. All right, shall we? He is a freelance writer, co-host for the Zombies Ate My Podcast, also provider of useless knowledge and avid geek. I love that description. From Westbrook, Maine, please give a warm Galactic Netcast welcome to Mr. Lou Page.
Woohoo! Hi, thanks for having me.
Hang on. Forgot the fanfare. Here we go.
Here it is.
Okay, did you catch that?
So much.
Hang on. One more time. There you go, Lou. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Geeks Club podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So, what are things like in Maine tonight? What's the weather like up there?
It is cold, surprisingly. Last week we had a bunch of 65 degree weather, and this week it's nice and 30 to 40.
Oh man, I think that's pretty much everywhere that you go right now. It's either wet or cold or both.
Yeah, it's starting to get depressing.
So, before we get into the show, tell us about the Zombies Ate My podcast.
Sure. Zombies Ate My Podcast is a show that a few of my friends, one in Canada and one in New Hampshire, came up with the idea that zombie shows aren't big on podcasting. So we came up with the idea to make it fun and talk about things like The Walking Dead and other survival tips for surviving the zombie apocalypse. And we try to keep it fun and loose every week.
Is your friend in Canada, does it happen to be Joel Duggan?
He's guested on our show.
Oh, okay.
My other co-host is Ryan Murphy.
Oh, Ryan Murphy. I know Ryan. Okay.
Yes. I know you know Ryan. You've had his co-host on various shows before.
Paul Swickard.
Yes.
He was my host on the Time Traveling Robots in Space podcast. Yeah.
Yes, and I think that's how I discovered Galactic Netcast.
Nice, nice.
Oh, cool.
It's a nice cohesive podcast world that we live in. It's nice.
Yes, it is.
All right, before we move on with new business, Brad, tell us what we talked about on the last or during the last meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club.
Well, in the last meeting, our guest geek was Corey Scott of the What We're Watching Weekly podcast. We talked about the story called Thank Joss, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has started torturing its characters. basically how we're finally seeing the Whedon shining through with people kind of getting screwed left and right and things going horribly wrong for the characters and the show really kind of finding its pace, finding its voice, and really taking off.
Can I intervene real quick? You're gonna love this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It is dark, 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 dark.
Yeah, I've enjoyed the show. I've watched it throughout. I never gave up on it, and I'm really glad that I didn't, because the last, you know, five episodes have been just phenomenal. So
I have to agree with you. That pilot episode was so bad, I almost gave up right away. And I said, no, I'll give it a couple of episodes. And I've been hooked ever since.
Yeah.
And it gets better, so...
It really does, and at this point, and we're kind of going off topic here, but it's really just it's just really hit its stride at this point, and you don't know what the hell's going on, and that's
exactly.
Really enjoyable. The next story that we had was we talked about the independent sci-fi horror film called Ejecta, and that's a couple of people witness a.
Okay. Can I interrupt one more time? I want to give a warning to Matt to not make any sexual jokes because of the name Ejecta.
You know, didn't even cross my mind, Dave, so thanks for treating me like a 10-year-old.
Dave, can I pause the show yet again and say, what were you thinking? I had the feeling that we were going to get by scot-free, and then you like... waved the red flag in the bull's face, and now we're screwed. You know that, right?
Yes.
Now I have to.
Can I interrupt? Can I interrupt and say you can continue with a review of last week's episode?
yes. Okay. The next piece was Rockne O'Bannon saying that the Farscape movie. Everybody's saying it's officially happening. At this point, a script is being put together. I think it's a little too early to put all of our eggs in the it's going to happen basket yet, but things are moving forward on that potentially happening. And last but not least was the story that Corey Scott brought to our attention, was that the Walking Dead actor Steven Yeun and Felicia Day are going to be voicing a comic book adaptation of Chew. I'm sorry, voicing an adaptation of the comic Chew. I should probably flip those words around because they could be two entirely different things. But anyways, a very fascinating, weird world that Chew is actually going to see the light of day as a film, and that's kind of exciting.
And can you briefly describe what Chew's all about? Just like within like 30 seconds worth.
30 seconds. Chew is about a guy who ends up working for a strange division of the FDA, and he has the ability to eat something and know everything about that particular thing. So if he eats like part of a person's ear or something, he will know all about that person. If he eats part of a chicken, he'll know all about the life that that chicken led up until the point of its death.
Wow.
So it's kind of like psychometry, the ability to pick up an object and know everything that happened around the object. It's like that, except with eating things.
Weird. Okay.
I use psychometry in a sentence. Boom.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
I'm just going to go now because I will never be smarter than Brad, ever.
Oh, no. Dude, you're way smarter than me. The problem is I have so much random crap shoved in the middle that I can just pop it out and sound smart.
I was very impressed. I tip my hat to you. I'll try not to make fun of you for the rest of the night as a gift.
Why?
For your smarts.
Can I intervene?
I would miss it, Matt.
Can I break you guys up in order to talk about something kind of cool?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Is that all right? Okay. So we started a Patreon campaign this week. It's a way for you to become an investor in Galactic Netcasts. It's a way for you to become our bosses for as little as $1 a month. That's all we ask, $1 a month. Go to patreon.com/galacticnetcast. We do have a goal to make $500 a month, and that will bring back our very first podcast that I did back in the day, in the dawn of Galactic Netcast. It was called the Sci-Fi Daily, and we're going to bring it back as maybe a 3 times a week thing. It's basically a minute and a half sci-fi news update that you can subscribe to. And that's our first goal. $500 a month, we'll get that. And all you got to do is donate $1 a month. I mean, what can you currently buy with a dollar that's not worth what we're giving you? I mean, we're giving you all kinds of cool science fiction, science, geek culture content. That's worth way more than $1 a month, right?
I can get a cheeseburger with a dollar, and a cheeseburger provides sustenance.
But
yeah, it's cheaper than a cup of coffee, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That is very true.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Lou. We are cheaper than a cup of coffee, but you get a lot more out of it. You'll
exactly.
get
exactly.
The buzz will last longer than the cup of coffee will. So again, patreon.com/galacticnetcast, and please donate that dollar and let us work for you. You can become an investor, a board member in Galactic Netcasts. Okay. Let's talk about the week's science fiction news. And Matt, you had it easy because you called in sick last week, even though you already had a story, and we did not talk about it. We said, hey, let's just leave that story for Matt to use next week. So what was it?
And you know what? It actually kind of worked out because a little more knowledge came out. I believe it was 2 days ago. But I found that the Sony is kind of relaunching, but still just kind of going forward with their Project Morpheus, which is virtual reality similar to the Oculus, except they're not going to sell it to Facebook like Oculus did after they raised all that money on their Kickstarter. They did a quick Q&A with one of the heads of the Project Morpheus team, and it sounds like Sony is going to focus more on indie developers instead of the big titles. I'm not entirely sure if it's not at all going to be able to be used with the big titles, because I'm sure some people would want to play it with like your Call of Duties and your games like that. I think it could really shine there, but the focus is indie developers. So, you know, you or I or the next guy could make a game that you could use this Project Morpheus and play games on. And it's expected to launch in 2015. Right now, they're saying that. So, I mean, that could obviously change.
That's real quick. That's next year.
Well, you know, in reality, they've been working on this for however long. It just kind of fell asleep, and then it became prevalent again when Oculus sold their soul to the devil, because there was a need for, you know, a real VR to come out that wasn't going to be, you know, hey, look at your friend's pictures when they're right in your face using Facebook with this helmet. So had Oculus not done that, who's really to say what would happen with this? But
you know, I'm really encouraged by their focus on these indie developers, because the stuff that I've seen with Oculus, the most fascinating stuff has been not necessarily like full-on video games, but like the tour around the bridge of the Starship Voyager, you know, through the Oculus.
Well, and it's just, you can really expand everything. You could create, say, and well, whatever. I'm a Simpsons person. But you know, I could use the Oculus or Morpheus to sit on the Simpsons couch. You know, I could watch their TV. You can do stuff like that. So they're really expanding their market, you know, to a limitless idea. You know, Brad could build his house and then load it, and I could sit on Brad's couch. You know what I mean? Like,
we could hang and virtually drink beers together.
Exactly. See? But I want to drink real beers. Virtual beers are probably dusty. But there's just like, you can create, you know, we could ultimately all put on our Oculus or our Morpheus or whatever, and we could have a virtual room in which we all sit in and podcast together.
That would be awesome.
Boy, that would be very interesting to try. I know, my head just exploded too.
Well, yeah.
I will say, I have used an Oculus before. And I have an awful, awful problem. I can't see anything in 3D. I don't know why. 3D doesn't ever work on me.
Wow.
I can't sit through 3D movies, no nothing. I can see like the flickering between the images, and it just doesn't work for me, and it takes me out of the... So I really want these things to work, but I'm hoping that whatever it is, the technology, will let me see in 3D.
So, okay, when you had the Oculus on, did it work for you? Because it's not really 3D, right?
It immersed me, but it didn't... I only got to play a brief demo of a game and got to try it on at a convention. And I had it on for 5 minutes. And I could see what was going on, but it still was... There was something about it that just didn't work for me. It might have been all the sweaty, grimy heads that had been on it before I got
yeah.
it.
A little distracting.
Well, maybe
you'll have to wait until the full-blown holodeck, Lou. Maybe...
I think that's my option.
I'd like that as an option, the just the regular holodeck, because you don't need to wear any greasy, grimy, sweaty headgear.
Yeah, I will admit they did a job of cleaning it down before everybody put the headset on, but still,
yeah,
it didn't smell nice.
So, Matt, anything left? Anything more to say with the story here?
No, there's not too much more out there. I spent a great deal of time searching through news articles, and it's kind of all reiterating the same thing. But when more comes out, I'll be sure to cover on it.
You'll be on it like a bonnet.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes, I will.
I was just thinking that you could design your house using the Oculus or the Morpheus and then build it with the 3D printer. You guys see that story this week of the houses they're building with the 3D printer?
They've been doing little things like that for a while now.
There's some company in Europe that's printing a house or something like that, or the foundation to the house is being printed.
The story that I saw this week was a housing manufacturer in China are actually, they're making houses. Like they're spitting them out via the 3D printer. They're using like cement. It's pretty amazing.
Of course it's in China.
They kind of do everything awesome first.
Yeah.
All right. So cool. Great story, Matt. Thank you very much. Let's move on to one of the most depressing stories of the week, at least in my humble opinion.
I gotta agree with you.
Yeah. So let's break the bad news, Brad. What do you got?
I had another story that I had picked earlier, which was about how a physics student had figured out how to create force fields. Like you have in Star Trek, by putting plasma and magnetic fields. And he kind of figured out how to do it. But I thought that this was far more important. And that was the Fox drama, Almost Human, has been canceled.
Oh, sad trombone.
Yay.
Shut up, Matt.
I was surprised to see this because I had just read an article like last week talking about shows that were like on the fence of getting canceled. Maybe they were going to get kept. Maybe they're going to get canceled. And this was on the list. And I was like, oh, please don't get canceled.
This show was so awesome. Well, I loved the interaction, the interplay between the Carl Urban character and the android. They had the best chemistry on TV I've seen of any show for a long time.
You know, and again, Fox... Yeah, a lot of people complained about the pacing of the show, and that it started out and it was incredibly slow, and then it wasn't until towards the end that you really had the pace, you really had the chemistry between all the main characters, and you had this world completely built. And what people don't realize is once again, Fox stepped in and they altered the airing order of the episodes. Had they not touched it, there would have been a steady progression of character development and that development of all the main characters of the show.
Why the F do they do that? Do they do that on purpose just to doom a show that they don't like?
Somebody just needs to have their hand slapped. You know, somebody that's up at the top who probably can't be fired is screwing everybody that has a sci-fi show that they put on, is basically what it must boil down to. Somebody's really good in bed, and they're able to just screw other people over, and that's just the deal. So their chances really started to slip when they had some new drama pilots come up that'll be coming out in fall. The first one is Gotham. Again, you know, you're going to be building the Batman mythos. Looking at the success of Arrow on CW, I'm not too surprised that something DC Comics based got fast tracked and is getting the green light. I don't know about the Red Band Society. I haven't seen anything on that, and I haven't seen anything on Empire. And right now I'm so distraught about this, I really don't give a crap. So to hell with them. But anyways, let's see. They also produced this show using an outside studio. It's the same studio that's doing The Following and Gotham. So
they shop
really
it around.
Had to. Well, it costs so much to make Almost Human. That was the big complaint.
Okay.
That they decided to repurpose that money on cheaper shows.
No, I mean, that's I could see them doing that very easily, just because in this world that we live in, network TV aren't getting the numbers. They're not getting the advertising dollars that they used to. So I'm sure they're looking at cost savings as much as they can.
Yeah. You know, and I kind of blame them for coming up with all this reality TV crap. When you drop the bar that low on quality, but two, on expenses, I mean, if you've got a reality, quote unquote, reality show, you don't have to pay for sets necessarily. You don't have to pay for a lot of things that you normally would making a sitcom or something like that. And while that allowed them to kind of deal with sagging sales and advertising, instead of approaching it, I think, from a sales aspect to try to boost their sales, you know what I'm saying? If they would have kept with good quality shows, the advertising dollars would have been there. But because they started to develop crap, advertisers weren't as interested, and so the advertising dollars aren't there.
And
so I think they created their own problem.
You know, that and the internet has caused I mean, not cause, but there's a lot more other places that people can put their eyes these days, not just the TV. So I think that's another factor as well.
Well, again, I think it kind of comes back to reality TV and quality that other weeks and places like, you know, companies like Hulu and Netflix and Amazon have said, well, crap, we could do better than that.
Mm-hmm.
And they jumped into the fray. So I think, again, it's a problem of their own making, and I think they need to stop being whiny bitches and you know, just continue to put out good programming, and the dollars will come if they focus on their actual sales departments.
I would like to know why.
Boy,
Matt...
this isn't something that ever happens in radio, does it, Dave?
No, never, never. I can't see the comparison at all.
And once this gets aired, once this gets put on the internet, I'm probably going to get beaten.
Well, I'm glad that you risked took the risk, Brad. It was very brave of you to do that.
Can we edit that out? Because I'm going to get beaten.
Yeah.
Wow.
I want to know why Matt hates this show so much.
It didn't look interesting to me at all. It just looked kind of weird and cheesy. That's it.
Well,
I didn't even watch it. I had no interest in watching it. And you guys know who I am. I'm kind of picky. I'm kind of like a diva when it comes to my sci-fi.
Lou, we probably should have pointed out earlier to you that Matt is the curmudgeon on the show. He's not as much of a geek as the rest of us. He's very...
No, I like video games and scary music. I'm wearing an After the Burial shirt, that might tell you something.
I have to say, one of the things about this show that kind of upset me is when I watched it the first time, I was really excited. My father-in-law loves sci-fi, and he's a big Isaac Asimov fan. And I was like, oh, you need to watch this show. And he watched it and then called me the next day and was like, it's not for me. And I was like, really? You love robots. You've lent me all these books on androids and sci-fi stuff, and you're not interested in this show? Nah, it's a cop show. They're just trying to hide it with robots.
But there were some really interesting story, like, ideas in that show involving the robots and consciousness and, you know, and being human.
And actually, I would take it a step further. The really interesting parts of it was we look at technology from obviously where we're at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Technology, I mean, 3D printers, you know, like 5-10 years ago, you'd be hard-pressed to find one anywhere. Or if you did, it would be like a $100,000 machine. And like when we had Joel Duggan on, we were talking about a digital print, you know, a 3D printer, granted a smaller size, for $300. Yeah. That was a pretty decent quality. So the thing about Almost Human was, and the cop procedural drama type stuff that was going on, was technology that's so far way out advancing law and its, you know, moral implications of, you know, can I do something or should I do something, you know, being two very separate concepts, and seeing all this technology being used in immoral fashions, at least from a law standpoint. That's what really made this show so interesting. The thoughts of, you know, what was it, like the DNA? They had like a DNA grenade that was used. So yep. You could like throw this grenade in a room and it would just spread DNA everywhere so that you couldn't do a crime scene analysis and try to, you know, find a strand of hair or DNA and try to test it because random bits of DNA are literally everywhere.
Lou, are you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, they even attempted the 3D printer in one episode, if I remember correctly, and it was like a pharmaceutical 3D printer or something like that.
Yeah, they were printing designer drugs.
Yeah, and I was like, really? I never saw that in the future of 3D printing. So at least they were looking at new ideas.
And then didn't the guy down in the lab, didn't he make a hamburger or something like that, or a steak?
He made a cupcake.
A cupcake, yeah. That's what it was.
And they had an episode where somebody actually had a larger organic printer where he could actually print bodies.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was good. Weird. Good stuff. I like the guy down in the lab. I forget his name. Rodney or something like that. He's a great actor. I've seen him before. Wasn't he in Trainspotting or some other?
He's been in a number of things.
He was in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep.
And he was, now I remember what it was. He was in the British version of The Office, I believe.
I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never actually watched the British version of that.
Some say that that is the best version. I've seen both. I'm not really convinced. I don't know.
His character name was Rudy in the show.
Okay. All right. My only hope is that somebody else picks this show up, maybe like an AMC or a Hulu or a Netflix, you know? Somebody with a lot of money to produce this show, make it right. Who knows?
It seems like something Netflix could pick up.
Yeah.
I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah, let's keep all of our fingers crossed, because that's the only way it's going to happen, if all of our fingers are crossed. All right, let's move on to, I think, the biggest story of the week. Don't you guys agree? This could be the biggest?
No.
No?
This Star Wars is just a fad.
Yeah. Star Wars Episode 7 cast announced, and my favorite part of this whole story is the picture of the whole cast sitting around with, assuming they're doing a read-through of the script or they're just kind of doing a get-to-know-you kind of deal, because it's a mix of old and new people, because you see Harrison Ford next to, like, one of the new guys, like Adam Driver. I think Adam Driver is sitting next to Harrison Ford. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But the cast that was announced, and please, if you guys could help me with the pronunciation of these names, I'd really, really appreciate it. John Boyega. He was the lead character in Attack the Block, who killed all the alien baddies. Adam Driver, he is in Girls. He's What's-Her-Face's boyfriend, Lena Dunham's boyfriend.
Yep.
Let's see. Oscar Isaac, he is from the movie Inside Llewyn Davis. I don't know what that movie's about.
Can't help you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Andy Serkis, of course, the most famous motion capture actor, artist in the world. He's been...
Oh, maybe he'll do like a precursor to or a relative of Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, don't. Don't even say that. Don't even think it.
When I saw his name, that was my first thought is, are they going to have him actually act, or are they going to have just make him do motion capture?
Yeah, because, I mean, Star Wars, at least the last three, episode 1, 2, 3, famous for their visual effects, their actual digital effects. So are they going to go back to practical effects with doing motion capture with Andy Serkis, possibly? Maybe?
I hope so.
Yeah?
So I would like to actually see him on screen acting.
Oh, yeah. Because you hardly ever see him, his actual face. That would be cool.
Good luck.
Domhnall Gleeson. He is known as he's from About Time, the movie About Time. Also seen in True Grit, Dread, and Harry Potter. And I think he's one of those guys that you will know him when you see him. You know, Domhnall Gleeson.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I've seen all those movies, and I have no idea specifically who he is.
Hey, Brad, do you want to find his picture and put it up on the screen?
Yeah.
Yep,
hang on.
Because I know that you guys will recognize this guy.
I'm trying to think of what he... Oh, he played a Weasley in Harry Potter.
Oh, okay.
Older brothers.
Okay, yeah, I know exactly who he is now.
Well, that is a terrible picture. He looks kind of like a crackhead there.
He looks like Axl Rose, actually, right?
He
there.
Does look like Axl Rose.
Yeah, he does.
Okay. Yeah, I recognize him now.
What threw me for the loop is when they said he was in Dread, because his character in that is like albino, so I couldn't remember what he looked like.
Oh, did he played the older Weasley that was that Charlie the dragon?
No, he played Bill.
Oh, he played Weasley. Bill. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Let's run down the rest of the cast here. Not many left. Max von Sydow, and he's been in everything.
He was Ming the Merciless. Villain?
What's that, Lou?
I was just saying, can we just assume he's going to be the villain?
Yeah. No, he's the perfect guy to play a villain. He probably will be playing a villain. And then
that's my expectation.
Yeah, I think he definitely Adam Driver is going to be a villain. That's been the news for a while that he's going to play a villain. And then there's one more. Cast member that hasn't been cast yet. Apparently, it's a female because this is a real sausage fest.
Sausage fest. you're bringing sausage fest to the table.
Yes.
Good for you, Dave.
Thank you. So they're looking for a mixed race female in her 20s. That was what the call out was for this character who nobody knows what the character is for. And actually, no, we don't know, besides the main people from the original three movies who are also in this, we really don't know what these characters or what these actors are playing, what characters they're playing. So I guess we'll see. I guess that stuff will filter out with time, right?
I know I won't be able to sleep until I find out who these people are playing.
Oh, you are being sarcastic, Matt.
Thanks. Thanks for noticing, Dave.
I can tell. So lots of Star Wars news this week, and that was the biggest story, I think. The precursor story to this was that the main three, help me out with the names here. You have your Harrison Ford, you have your
Carrie Fisher
and Mark Hamill all hanging out in London in various areas. That was the story that was the precursor to this, saying that they're definitely in it. And I saw Mark Hamill. He looks pretty good. It looks like he's really taking advantage of the 20th century, or no, Disney money to get in shape.
I wish I had a Disney paycheck every week.
Yeah, that'd be a good motivation to get in shape. Yeah, you want this like $20 million? Yeah, lose some pounds, get some muscle, get in shape.
Thanks, Dave. Just calling me fat on the show.
I'm not calling you fat. I'm just saying that would be a good motivation if a person were out of shape.
Shut up. All right, Disney, make it happen as I sit here and drink beer.
Okay. Yeah, enjoy that beer there, Chuggles.
We haven't asked you, Matt, what beer are you drinking this week?
It's a mistake. It's the Christmas beer that I got on deep discount. It's Santa's Ale from Rogue, but I opened it. I'm gonna finish it. It's not very good. It tastes like too much. It tastes like Santa had too much wine on Christmas Eve
and elf tears.
Yeah, you could really taste the elf tears in the crisp notes.
Tastes like it was filtered through Santa's jock strap. You're welcome.
And moving on.
All right. So, yeah, Star Wars, we have lots of news this week. That was the biggest story. And Lou, you've got something Star Wars related too, right?
Yes, I do. Apparently, Disney has decided that they are throwing out all of the expanded universe for Star Wars. None of it means anything anymore.
Great. Awesome, Disney. And, thanks.
I mean, and a lot of people are upset about this, and I have to say, I'm actually very happy about it. Most of my time in high school was reading these expanded universe books, and as I got further and further into the series, there's only so many Death Stars you can blow up before the concept of a Death Star becomes irrelevant. And they start making solar system destroyers, and then they start destroying those, and then they bring back some more Death Stars, and it's like, okay.
Really? I didn't know they did that, because I've never read any of the Expanded Universe books. They really, they did that? They kept on making more Death Stars?
Yes. Eventually, somebody recreates a Death Star that looks like a lightsaber, and they call it the Darksaber.
Oh my god. That's like,
and it was kept in a black hole to hide it from the rebels, and it doesn't really work. So when they fire it, it blows up, and
that's dumb. That's stupid.
The expanded universe stuff is really, some of it's really good. Like the first few books are really good, and then it just seems like they gave money to writers and said, "Here, come up with an idea."
And I think Lucasfilm, Disney, and J.J. Abrams, I think they want to, not J.J. Abrams, but I think they want to own the lore. I think they want to, and I think they want to do different things with it. So you almost have to get rid of the expanded universe, you know?
You do. Yeah, because you can't have that baggage hamstringing, you know, J.J. Abrams, you know, and from the especially getting hamstrung by the people that gave you a crappy Darksaber, you just can't have that. So they really have to wipe the slate clean.
That sounds like a Spaceballs concept, doesn't it?
It does.
Yes. Oh, no. I mean, at certain points, whatever the writers seem to need to fix something, their answer is always the Force. Eventually, at some point, I think the Force has done everything you can imagine throughout every single book. At one point, there's a person that can heal you with the Force. There's a person that can move a solar system with the Force.
Aww.
They can. You're like, okay, all right. Now, so I definitely think that them tossing all this out the window is a good idea.
And now,
so I'm sure that people are going to hate me for saying that.
No, you know what? Who here has read, besides you, Lou, Brad, have you read the Expanded Universe books?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I haven't either. So I think the people that have are in the minority. I think most people that are going to go see this movie, I think, have never or read any of those books.
I like how you didn't even ask me if I have.
Matt,
have you?
Have you?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I didn't see you.
You tease.
You kind of had that one coming.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You could have just acknowledged the fact that we could all assume that I haven't.
Hey,
I've seen them. My brother had them. Never read them, though.
I gave you the chance to answer.
No, it's very true. If you haven't known this about me already, Dave, I don't even read my textbooks. I don't even read the books that I'm supposed to get an education from. Why would I read any book?
Yeah, that's true. So I think it sounds like Disney and Lucasfilms, they're establishing their own expanded universe a little bit in preparation for the movie, like with this new series, this new animated series coming out, Rebels, right? So that's what it's called?
Yes. Yep.
And then I think they're actually publishing some books of their own. I read that story a couple weeks ago. They've got a whole line of books coming out. So they're kind of relaunching the book series as well.
Not sure that's a good idea either, but let's just make movies.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you get the right get the right writers, I think you're fine. I think where the Star Wars Expanded Universe made a mistake was hiring or letting the wrong writers publish books for them. Because the same thing has happened with the Star Trek universe. I've seen some, and I've read some really bad Star Trek novels where they try to fit every possible aspect of Star Trek into one book. Let's do a crossover. Let's do alternate universes. You know, let's do something original. You know,
I like that. Let's not.
So that's going to – anything more you want to talk about related to that story, Lou?
I will say that my favorite of all the Expanded Universe stories comes from a book called Tales of the Bounty Hunter, where they explain that the robot bounty hunter, IG-88, is actually in control of the Death Star during Return of the Jedi, and that the Emperor and anything that they're doing doesn't really matter because it's really a robot and nobody knows why it's working.
Oh my God, that's just...
Yes.
What?
The robot programs himself, sneaks on board the Death Star, programs himself into the computer, and while everybody is pushing switches, it's not really doing anything for them. He's really controlling the Death Star.
Oh my
and
God.
They blow him up in the movie.
That's just I don't have another word for stupid. I was thinking of a different word for stupid. That's just stupid.
Redonkulous.
Yeah.
So when I read this article, I was really excited.
Now that you've wheeled out those gems, yeah, I'm kind of glad they're sweeping the deck of all the crap.
I'm surprised that this stuff hasn't come out, because I've heard nothing but complaints against, you know, complaining that, you know, Disney and Lucasfilm were doing this. But I've not heard anything in favor of them. I've not heard any of this. Any of it.
I feel sort of alone in this opinion, so it's not, I understand.
Okay. All right. So I wanted to call an audible and throw in one, an extra story, since we have one less person this week. This just came through within the last day. Yahoo apparently is getting into the original content business, and they've got two series debuting here very soon, and one of them is a science fiction comedy. It's called Other Space. Have you guys heard about this?
No.
Nope.
Yeah, it's from, what's his name? One of the guys involved with Freaks and Geeks, and the director of Bridesmaids, Paul Feig. Feig, F-E-I-G.
Know the name.
Also, Mike Tolan, executive producer of Smallville and One Tree Hill. They're teaming up to make another series for Yahoo. But the one I want to talk about is this, this space movie, Other Space. And I'm trying to find a description of it. It sounds really interesting.
Other Space?
Yeah, Other Space.
Yeah, I found it chronicling a misfit group of space adventurers who stumble upon an alternate universe.
That sounds really interesting. That sounds really, really good. And shenanigans ensue, I'm guessing.
Shenanigans.
Yes. I'm not seeing a date for these, but apparently they're going to be these are going to be debuting soon, soonish, I think.
The two series will be launched via Yahoo Screen, a video platform that can be accessed on the web or on a branded app available for consumption across devices and on TV via best-selling set-top boxes, including Apple TV and Roku.
I hope they have something for the Chromecast, too. That'd be nice.
Ah, all episodes will be available at once for binge-friendly viewers. Those specific launch dates have yet to be determined. So, you know, it really seems like House of Cards set the tone of create everything,
mm-hmm.
create all the episodes, and then launch it all at once.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm certainly not going to complain about that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So that's the really story cool. I wanted to throw in. It sounds interesting. It sounds like Yahoo is getting into, I read somewhere that they're going to be making available a live concert like every day for like 365 days. Which might interest Matt if it's something that he's into, like if it's a band that he's into.
Yeah. No, that'd be super cool. I was, right before we kind of got together to do this, there was, my wife and I went out to Minneapolis this weekend. I was telling you guys, in the we went to the garage in Burnsville. I don't know if you're familiar, Dave, but they had a big thing, and it says, oh, we film all the shows. Go find them on Facebook or whatever, and a couple of the bands we saw actually had posted them. So I think it's really cool when places and bands do stuff like that, because it's one thing to stand there and watch it, but it's another thing to watch it on a TV. You know
yep.
what I mean?
Yep, exactly.
So if they do something like that, you would definitely bring in a different crowd of people.
Cool. All right, Yahoo. Not your mother's Yahoo, or not your grandmother's Yahoo. It's not the.
It's nice to see them doing something. That's for sure.
Yeah, because they were pretty much languishing for the longest time. There was nothing new coming out of Yahoo. They were just kind of doing the same old thing. And I think this all has to do with Marissa Meyer coming from Google and taking over Yahoo, definitely.
Googling your Yahoo.
That sounds dirty.
It sounds very dirty. Doesn't it, Matthew?
Dave told me I had to behave.
No, that's pish posh.
Why start now?
Pish posh. It's okay.
Ooh.
At least we don't have, you know, potty mouth Anessa Moyens here this week. I don't have to take any swear words out.
She's the worst. That's coming from me. Just kidding.
All right, that's going to do it, I think, for this episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. One more time, patreon.com/galacticnetcasts if you would like to give to the network and help us become the ultimate power in science fiction content. Content creation, content distribution when it comes to science fiction, science, and geek culture. Help us become a powerhouse on the internet with your donation of as little as $1. You can do more than that. You know, you can donate $5 a month. And the cool thing about Patreon, you make your donation and it just gets taken out of your whatever source that you give it. You know, your PayPal or your checking account or whatever. So again, patreon.com/galacticnetcast. Please give. We'd really appreciate that. Also, leave us feedback by sending us an email, galacticnetcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to the show. We are on Stitcher and we're on iTunes. While you're on iTunes, give us 5 stars and a review. That would be helpful in getting ranked higher on the iTunes charts. And that will give us even more subscribers. One more time, let's thank Lou Page for joining us this week, being our guest geek. Lou, tell us what you have going on the internet. Where can people find you? What are you doing?
The easiest way to find me is I am at BusyZombieLord on Twitter. And if you want to see what I'm up to, go to zombiesatemypodcast.com.
All right, cool.
For all your zombie news.
So you guys do it weekly? You come out with weekly episodes?
Mostly weekly.
Okay.
We end up occasionally, due to schedule conflicts, end up taking a week off, but it's almost every week.
Okay. Yeah, I know how scheduling conflicts work. I totally understand that.
We never have that happen.
No, here. Never. No, we're solid every week. Podcast. All right, thanks, Lou. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. I call this meeting adjourned. All right, we'll talk to you guys next time.
Sounds good.
Bye, Dad.
Bye. Thanks, Lou.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.